on low meningococcal vaccine completion rates among HIV-infected men who assisted men attending New York City sexually transmitted disease clinics 2012-2015.
So invasive meningococcal disease, or IMD, is a bacterial infection caused by Neisseria meningitidis, which has five invasive serogroups. And this leads to the infection and inflammation of the protective membranes covering the brain and spinal cord. And it's a serious infection resulting in a case fatality rate of about 10 to 15%. But the good news is it is vaccine preventable. In the United States, there's a quadrivalent vaccine available for use, which covers serogroups A, C, W, and Y. And IMD is spread person to person through respiratory droplets during close or intimate contact. However, sexual transmission is suspected. Neisseria meningitis carriage has been found in the urethra, but there have also been multiple observed outbreaks of IMD concentrated among MSM populations. The first outbreak among MSM was in Toronto in 2001, and there have been several outbreaks, particularly recently, all serogroup C, and these outbreaks have disproportionately affected HIV-infected persons. The longest and largest outbreak was in New York City between 2010 and 2013, which is what this presentation will focus on. But I would like to point out that since earlier this year, Los Angeles has also been experiencing an outbreak of IMD among MSM, which is on par to surpass our case count and become the largest MSM outbreak. So the New York City outbreak had 22 cases, all MSM, all serogroup C, 55% of whom were HIV infected. And we observed a case fatality rate three times expected. Although the case, the index case occurred in 2010, the outbreak was first recognized by the Health Department in September 2012. And New York City Health Department quickly responded with a vaccine campaign. At that time, the ACIP recommendations did not routinely recommend meningococcal vaccination to MSM or HIV-infected persons. So the New York City Department of Health released a set of local vaccine recommendations to target the outbreak population. The first recommendation was issued on October 4th, 2012, and this covered HIV-infected MSM who were also New York City residents and had a high-risk sexual exposure since September 1st, 2012. STD clinics see large volumes of the vaccine target population, so we immediately began to offer the meningococcal conjugate, or MCV4 vaccine, which does cover the outbreak strain serogroup C. And this was provided free of charge to our patients. Later that year, in November 2012, the New York City Department of Health expanded their vaccine recommendations to also cover MSM, regardless of HIV status, who lived in specific neighborhoods in Brooklyn and had a high-risk sexual exposure since September 1st, 2012. Again, in March 2013, they further expanded their recommendations to cover all HIV-infected MSM and MSM who had a high-risk sexual exposure. Later that year, in August 2013, the meningococcal outbreak was declared over. However, the New York City Department of Health recommended ongoing vaccination for these two populations. However, a single dose of MCV4 is not sufficient for HIV-infected persons. So a second dose is recommended to occur 8 weeks after the first dose. And in order to increase two-dose coverage among HIV-infected MSM, STD clinicians provided the date to return for their second dose on a vaccine card given to patients at time of their first dose. We also performed in February 2014 a one-time mass recall of patients who were in need of a second dose. And we did this via text message or letter. So again, New York City STD clinics do see high volumes of the target population for the vaccine, and we largely contributed to the meningitis vaccine campaign in New York City, and we continued to vaccinate these populations. As part of an evaluation of vaccine efforts, we performed an analysis to describe the rate of return for second MCV4 dose among HIV-infected MSM. In order to do this, we extracted patient data from our New York City STD clinic electronic medical record, and we extracted all HIV-infected MSM who received their first MCV4 dose at New York City STD clinics between October 5th, 2012, the date we began to administer the vaccine, through the end of 2014. And we examined receipt of second dose at New York City STD clinic within 1 year of their first dose. We compared return for second dose by patient characteristics, including race, ethnicity, age, and whether the patient's neighborhood of residence was specifically named in the vaccine recommendation, so one of those Brooklyn neighborhoods. We described temporal trends and identified circumstances under which second dose was administered. We observed an overall rate of return of 27%. This did not vary by race, ethnicity, or neighborhood, but age was a significant correlate. And we observed the older age groups to be about 2 to 3 times more likely to return compared to the youngest age group of less than 30. This graph shows the rate of return for MCV4 dose 2 over time among patients vaccinated with the first dose during the quarter listed on the x-axis. You can see here that rate of return did vary over time, peaking during the height of the outbreak at 39% and declining really particularly after the outbreak was declared over. However, there was an uptick in Q4 2013 and Q1 2014, which may have to do with our enhanced patient recall. Among the 322 HIV-infected MSM who did return for a second dose, 45% came in specifically for the vaccine and did not receive additional services. 21% requested the second dose, but also received additional STD services, such as testing and treatment, so there may have been a contributing factor drawing them back into clinic. 34% of these patients did not request a second dose, but were opportunistically vaccinated by our medical providers during routine care. Among all dose 2 recipients, we observed a median time between doses of 12 weeks. So patients were returning in a relatively timely manner. 8 weeks was the recommended interval. Though, as may be expected, the time between doses was longer among patients who were opportunistically vaccinated. This graph shows the percent of dose 2 recipients who specifically requested the second MCV4 dose by the quarter in which they received the second dose. Requests for MCV4 among dose 2 recipients did peak among folks who returned during the outbreak and then dropped off, but did spike back up again during the quarter in which we recalled patients to STD clinics, to a proportion 74%, which was comparable to that among patients receiving dose 2 during the outbreak, which does lead us to believe that our recall did draw patients back to clinic. So overall, we did see suboptimal return for second dose of 27%. However, this may be an underestimate as we are unable to capture second doses received at non-STD clinic providers. The health department did stage a number of vaccine events at MSM bars and clubs and pride parades. So it's quite possible that these patients did in fact receive their vaccine at these other venues, but we are just unable to capture those doses. We did observe a lower rate of return among younger MSM and a higher rate of return for the vaccine, which corresponded temporarily with increased messages to the public and to our STD clinic patients. This analysis underscores the need for active patient recall in order to maximize return for second dose among HIV-infected MSM. Although it would be ideal for clinics to integrate routine active recall of patients, that may be resource intensive. So an alternative is to utilize technology and perhaps integrate into your medical record or even immunization registry automatic reminders to patients in need of second dose. This analysis also underscores the need for complete immunization registries. So in New York City, the health code mandates that all immunizations given in New York City are reportable for persons through age 18. If this mandate was expanded to require all immunizations given to folks of any age, providers throughout the city, such as HIV primary care providers who should be seeing these patients on an ongoing routine basis, could utilize this registry to check if the patient is in need of an additional dose and provide opportunistic vaccination. Lastly, the ACIP has recently voted to recommend routine vaccination of all HIV-infected persons. So now that the national recommendations will match our local recommendations, this may improve two-dose coverage as providers may be more vigilant to ensure all HIV-infected persons are vaccinated fully. And I'd like to just acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Susan Blank and Dr. Preeti Pathella, and open it up to questions.